Good evening, everybody. Al, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Ready to begin?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let the record show that all the directors are present tonight. Let's start with public comments.
I hate to be first, but I don't want to be last.
I mentioned John Lanou. I mentioned a few weeks ago to the president that I thought it would be helpful if we had all the board members' names and your email addresses for the CSD on the agenda or on some other document, but I thought the agenda would be helpful. And I think that way people would know when they saw the agenda on our email or here at the meeting, they would know who to get in contact with or who to be speaking to. And also, I know it'll come along as time comes along, but I think even now, maybe we could have cardboard trifolds with your names on them so that when people get up, they want to talk to Michelle or Natalie or Leo, they would know who they're speaking to. So that's that. And one last thing really doesn't have anything to do with the agenda or what this evening, but I heard on the news just before we got here that the federal government is either going to decrease or eliminate many national monuments throughout the United States. And apparently the San Gabriel Mountains is right on the top of their agenda. So if you're concerned about that, they've already given over $700,000to our mountains for different cleanups and what have you. And so if you're concerned about that, well, you need to write your congressman. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
One of just the community interest, we just had the car show, and we had no public toilets. And I'm not a member of the chamber, but I spoke to the chamber about it because I was out right in the alleyway, and people saw my shirt, which was a volunteer shirt, and started questioning me about the toilets. Now I don't quite understand why when we have had that thing planned for all these months that they had to have more porta potties brought in and why they had to pay for it, because it was the CSDs of the county's problem for not having it operational. Second point, and this is directed toward the CSD members, I thought that there was supposed to be a filing of the Form 700 within the 30 days after your first meeting, your compensation. And I haven't been able to find anything on Form 700s. Thank you.
Well, I know I submitted mine.
Mine's also filed. I submitted mine and have the certified receipt for it.
I've submitted mine, but they haven't updated them yet.
Where are they located online?
We just submit them to the county registrar's office, so I would believe that it's their job over there to upload them to their website, but they have been mailed by all of us there.
Okay, so we'll go over the for the general manager report, we'll go over the restroom issue. Okay. Item 4, discussion and possible action regarding solid waste transfer agreement and solid waste management agreement with the County of San Bernardino. Steve, do you want to comment on this?
Sure. So as an update following our last board meeting, I indicated that I prepared a draft of the fee transfer agreement and the solid waste management agreement and forwarded those over to the committee and to your general manager. Received authority to send those over to County Council which I did. And then County Council, right before our last meeting, sent over a revised version with some proposed changes. So last week, worked with the committee and the general manager concerning those changes, and on Friday sent out the revised, my revised version of the fee transfer agreement and the management agreement. The management agreement is part of the agenda materials for tonight. And so that was sent out on Friday with a request, and you'll note in some of the comments on the red line that we requested to have a meeting to discuss some of the issues, particularly with respect to the calculation of the reimbursement back to the county for the period of time in which they've been managing the dump cart. Since all of the fees from the assessment will come to the district. So there was a language in there about how the county would be refunded and reimbursed for the period of time they're issuing the dump cards and managing the program until the time that we take that over. As well as we wanted to have some discussion with the county staff about timing for the payment of that amount. So we sent that out on around noon on Friday, and we received an email back from the county that afternoon requesting a meeting on Monday morning. So the board president, the general manager, and I met with solid waste staff and county council Monday morning. There was, about eight staff members that were waiting around the table for us when we got there.
Yeah.
And we kind of hammered out some of the issues. A very positive thing that came out was that the county offered to hold off on requesting any of that reimbursement money or any of the money that would be owed by the district for use by residents of the dump cards at county landfill facilities, that the district would not have to pay that to the county until January of next year, after the district has received its tax money. The county had made that offer, and that's a significant issue. And that was one of the issues that we went to talk about. It was an issue I was not looking forward to. I expected a bloodbath on that. And your board president, though, disagreed with me, and he was correct. And so the county had actually offered that. With respect to the other items in the agreements, we are waiting to receive county council's revisions to my revisions, to their revisions. And as of now, I have not received those. We expect to get those back shortly. As far as the timing of when the transition would take place as to the dump cards, I think we're looking at the end of September 30th. So that would be the first quarter of this fiscal year, July 1 to September 30. The program would be run by the county, and then the district would be in position to issue its own dump passes and manage the program on its own.
Right. So we're going to make our own cards, is the plan. We're going to make our own cards, and the county is going to provide us with the mail-in addresses that go with the APN. I've talked to the Wrightwood Mini Mart, and if we had to make replacement cards, they would be willing to stock them there so people could just go by and pick it up there, and we could just print it ad hoc, you know, if somebody loses their card, is the idea. So I think the agreement, we should get that done relatively quickly. I mean, it depends on them, but I don't think
I don't think it should take too much longer to get that in place.
So is the card going to be mailed?
Yeah.
All the property owners.
Right.
And then what are the ones that are going to be at the ARCO? What's that for?
Well, let's say somebody loses a card or something, we could put it over there, or we could mail a new one to them. Either way.
Okay. And that would be for LA County and?
Yes.
So we would initially make cards for all of San Bernardino County and all of LA County together and mail them. And we are going to be provided the mailing addresses with APNs from the tax collector's office.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the tax collector's office, but somebody around the table said that they were going to get us those.
Okay. I was thinking it was whomever sent out the property tax bill. But
we could do it that way, but they volunteered to get us
that
information. So we'll stay on that and get those mail addresses. We'll plug it into our database and away we go.
In terms of having it at the Wrightwood Mini Mart, would they need to track who comes in for replacement? And
I think we would just give them we'd say, well, do you want to pick it up at the Mini Mart or mail it?
So they would have already contacted us first, so
yeah.
We can verify.
So then we make a new one.
Okay. Oh,
we'll have our own.
It has the name on it.
We'll have our own printer.
Right.
And it'll just print it right
there.
It's
simply a pickup spot.
Right.
Okay. Thanks.
Because maybe somebody's not here, maybe Shannon's not here that day or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say we're getting closer on that.
Yeah, I would agree. I think all in all, the meeting went very well. One of the things that I had mentioned at the last board meeting was County Council was pushing the September 12th deadline. That's the date that they intend to bring the agreements, the fee transfer agreement and the management agreement, to the Board of Supervisors. And so they wanted those documents approved by this board in final form before that date, and then brought to the Board of Supervisors, and then the county would immediately deactivate the cards shortly thereafter. I think it was encouraging that the county staff was taking a perhaps more cooperative position than county council, and so the September 30 date, I think, would give staff enough time
to
produce the cards, and then hopefully it'll be a smooth transition.
Yeah.
But the main thing that we went in there, we started with, was thanking the county for not creating a lapse in service by continuing to provide the service for the residents,
right,
so that there would not be a lapse in service before you got up and running. It does mean we'll have to reimburse for a quarter's worth of whatever those administrative costs might be, but all in all, for purposes of serving your constituents, I think it's a very positive thing.
Right. Any questions about that? Leo?
You want to talk a little bit about fees and stuff? Or
sure.
This is a good time. And, when I was reading through this agreement, there was one area. How are we going to be charged back to the CSC? It said something about a normal price.
Yeah, the way it works is they're supposed to weigh everybody that goes through the dump. I'm not saying they do, but they're supposed to, and that's based on $59.94 a ton.
Okay.
And then they, as long as it's under 500 pounds, then they just punch the card. They punch the card, and then they send the weight over at the end of the month. They send the weight over to the CSD. Everybody's listed on there with the weight, with their APN number, and then it's all added up, and then they say, okay, the CSD owes this much.
So what do they charge at the dump right now? Is it $10 for 500 pounds?
No, it's $59.94 a ton. That's what they charge. Yeah, so if just anybody drives into the dump and says, I'd like to dump some stuff here and I'll pay you money, it's the same rate.
But then your resident, as a resident of Brighton, you come in instead with a dump pack,
right?
You dump it without paying a pay at the gate fee, and then that amount gets billed back to the CSD.
Right.
The actual tonnage.
Yeah, the actual tonnage and the rate.
And we will be getting those reports on a monthly basis.
Yeah, I saw that in here, which is nice because then you can recap and see who has a lot of trash out there. Thank you.
Yeah. Hi, John.
John Azis. Are the dump cars going to be basically the same with the all of the loads plus the 13 green waste stamps on the bottom?
Yeah, we'll try to make them the same, and we'll have our own design on there. Obviously, I mean, I think print full color and all that, so maybe they'll be better looking cards.
Where does the 13 extra loads? How does that figure into it?
I forgot where. I have to look at my dump card, but is it on there? Is
across
it,
the bottom.
I think it'd be, you know, try to make it look similar so they could punch in that spot.
No, what I was referring to, are those part of the calculation?
Yeah, they are.
So they're like a bonus?
Yeah. We don't have everything figured out. We asked a lot of questions at this meeting and got a lot of blank stares. And they are researching a lot of these questions we had like that.
Because those extra green waste ones,
yes,
are fairly recent. That's only like the last 3 or 4 years.
Oh, I didn't know.
Prior to that, it was the 52 loads or whatever it is.
They only knew about the 52 loads and seemed completely ignorant about the letter they sent out to everybody in Wrightwood.
I believe that the letter that makes reference to those 13 green waste loads. Do you have that on? You might be able to find that on.
There were a couple of interesting things that happened in the meeting. One is, more president mentioned that they're not weighing at the station. And they said, well, of course we're weighing. I mean, they bill based upon weight. And he said, no. And he said, pictures. So I was there, and Mr. Zuber said, well, I was there this weekend, and here's my truck going in, and it was weighed in, and here I am going out, and it wasn't weighed afterwards. And so the operator just visualized whatever she thought that the amount might be.
She said, actually, she had 20 years. I said, how do you know? I said, maybe this is over 500 pounds. And she said, I said, how do you know? And she said, 20 years of experience.
and then also, speaking of that, the letter that Director LaPickle mentioned, the July 1 letter, the county staff thought if you were over the weight limit, then what would happen would be that there would be two punches put on your card.
Or more.
And that letter,
or more, right.
The letter does not mention that. Instead,
no.
It mentions that there would be a tipping fee that would have to be paid.
That's the way it expressly goes over that operation in the letter, and says that it's billed for the difference, you know, and then the person pays the difference. That's what it says in the letter, and that's just not what they're doing. But there's still a disconnect. I don't know if they punch the card and go back to the computer and bill again, or they just punch the card. They seem to have no knowledge that I asked her specifically, can you tell if I've been here last week? No, I can't know. Well, I go by your card. So they don't even know at the booth if you've been there 500 times, or they have no idea.
In my experience, when I roll up, they look at your license plate, and they put that into into their system, and then they pull out pull a dump card and validate. But they don't have a driver's license.
No, they don't.
And I've been asked for my driver's license, which has my mailing address.
Really?
So I've always wondered how they. So I think they have several different ways that they run that when people come. But John. Just to confirm, it does here say that the permit is valid for 13 clean loads of flammable vegetation on the paperwork. So we will do our best to have that, or we will have that on the card if that's, we want to honor the same type of system.
Okay.
which,
that they had.
Which, by the way, I had a bunch of tree branches on top of a whole bunch of fiber junk, and they labeled it green waste, even after I told them. They punched the green waste. Like, oh, good enough.
They just shovel all it and don't recycle it. They don't paint it. They don't care what you put down there.
You know, and it wouldn't be so. It would be more funny if I didn't know what I know about Cal Recycle. You know, this is a really big concern. They are not making big efforts to do recycling there, and they need to. This is all mandatory from the state. Adelanto, for example, got fined $10,000 a day. City of Adelanto for not having a recycling plan. And, you know, it's something we need to think about. I mean, there was a discussion, hey, is the CSD responsible? Is the county responsible? But it seems to me that if it's the CSD that has solid waste powers, we're kind of responsible for that. We're under the radar, but they're starting to go around and enforcing it. We do need to think about that. And I asked them specifically at the meeting what their plans were for modernizing their facility and what they're going to do about it. And I got a lot of blank stares.
Yeah.
So it's something we have to stay on, I think. But anyway, does that answer your question about the...
Yeah.
Are those California state regulations?
They are.
Is this mandatory waste?
They've been working on this since.
Regulation.
And Brent knows way better than me. So it's like 1989, Brent?
Yeah,
AB 939. Yeah. In 1989, they've been working on this, and it's sort of been laying around back there. But in the last couple of years, I think, Al, you found that they passed a whole bunch of, they're really trying to strengthen this.
In 2015, they had passed, I believe it was 15. Associated regulations with 939.
Right.
In 2016, there was 23, I believe it was. I don't know what they're going to do this year, but every year they keep on adding more toning and adjustments and everything else.
Well, as a business, I get notification from San Bernardino County on how much are we recycling as a business.
Yeah, because they're starting, you know, the state's starting to clamp down.
Yeah.
And at your restaurant, what is the rule if it's 4 tons of green waste, you've got to compost. You've got to have like a composting trash can.
We don't have that much, but we do recycle our oil. We do recycle all of our bottles, our cardboard, plastic, and styrofoam.
Yeah.
So we're doing as much as we can.
Right.
So basically, we're not in compliance yet with state regulations.
Well, as I understand it, they're going after the business part right now. And then the residential does fall under the same rules, but that they're not, we don't know when they're going to, you know, I don't know when they're going to start enforcing this.
Make
but
compliance.
Yeah.
CSD in compliance with the
right.
Management.
Right. Right.
John, did you have a question?
Yes.
Take care.
Comment and question. And Leo, you mentioned it when we go to the dump line, they oftentimes want your license plate number if they don't see it when they want. And by doing that, I know that I have over the years when they get that, and if I have a new vehicle like a truck or my trailer, why then they register that. They weigh it, and they know how much it weighs because you come back out empty. So they do it once, and then when you keep coming back in, well, they can just deduct it from what that weight is.
I don't quite understand that because, you know, do they know how much fuel you have? I mean, that makes a big difference.
Yeah. Or how many
you know, it's 7 pounds a gallon for diesel fuel, right? If I come in there empty, I got a 30-gallon tank, it's 210 pounds.
Yeah.
I don't understand how they do that. That doesn't make sense to me.
And the question is, you were mentioning a few minutes ago about L.A. County. Does San Bernardino County know the addresses of L.A. County?
It's a really good point. No.
We'd have to get that from L.A. County.
Yeah, we got
to
get that from L.A. County. Yeah.
I think we can get that from Sam.
Yeah.
Glenn Goldstein. All of your unknown questions are answered by 20 years of experience by somebody, and that's how they now see. Okay.
Now, by eyesight.
By eyesight. That's right.
Why even have that scale? You could just get a crystal ball.
You could. You could. There's also smart hands. Let's see. This is a little futuristic, a little ahead of where we are, but I would like to see if there's a possibility of looking at doing green waste to biochar. Biochar is, as an agronomist, I can tell you what it is. But biochar is burning what you have into a char form. It lets off no CO2. They love it for environmental reasons, but also it's mixed about 50-50, so it's a saleable product. It's mixed with other organic materials that have been rotting, and it's sequestered in the ground for roughly 1,000 years. But it increases the carbon-nitrogen balance for farms, so that's really good to do. So it's a usable product, and I think that they have some fairly large biochar plants in England, and that they sell mobile ones here or something. I read something about that. But it's a little ahead, but it's where they're looking to go without having to go there yet. But biochar could do a biochar plant possibly. It's not complicated. All right. Anyway.
Good idea.
Okay. Thank you.
Hank Hallmark, this is not going to be so futuristic. My question, there's a couple of questions and then a comment. My question is, does the county get credit for waste weight recycling by weight? Because if they do, they may be putting their thumb on the scale whenever they just estimate that.
That was one of my questions. Specifically, I wanted to work the contract that if somehow Wrightwood recycled or was under these recycling rules, that they would give us, because if you look at that $59.94, there's a $12 charge in there for AB 939 a ton. So I wanted to put something in the contract to where if Wrightwood did recycle, that they'd get rid of that $12 charge. And we'd be charged at just the tipping fee plus the pre-chloride rate.
Other comment is on the green waste. We have green waste pickup for a whole week.
Yeah.
And because there's a fee that's charged by the county for people taking green waste down to the dump.
Right.
We preclude them having to take it to the dump by having it all come there.
Yeah.
And then Brent's good enough to take it up to Mountain High, and
yes,
it's being used up there.
It's fantastic.
So we should, as a Fire Safe Council and a Wildfire Awareness or whatever, Green Waste Day, should get some credit for our citizens not having to use their dump cards and it not being charged to the CSD.
I agree. I think that it's going to enter into the recycling plan, you know, where we say, because you have to have a plan that says you recycle X amount of your percentage of your
well,
waste.
John's got all the figures for what? How many years? 8 years? Well, 12 years.
Right.
And you can't beat it.
Right.
For the recycling.
Since it's like 200 tons, right?
And that the Forest Service finally agreed that pine needles are pine needles, and they
yeah.
can be placed at Mountain High.
It's beautiful.
And it's great. So that's,
yeah.
I just suspect, the county is suspect, as far as I'm concerned, with their weight estimations, because I think that they're getting credit through the state because of weight instead of some other criteria.
Well, I think you're assigning way too much confidence to them, but okay. I mean maybe, but their operation down there is so loose and it's so broken in my estimation that I really don't think they have any idea what they're doing down there. So, but I don't think they know how much. I mean, if you look at the pile, I mean, they don't bother to recycle anything. You know, if you look, at the pile that's in there and it's cement, and it's just, people just are just throwing stuff out. So, I mean, there's commercial guys now. I saw a commercial guy, I got a picture of his truck. He's got a phone number on the side of his truck. I do yard work. Whipped out his dump cart, there you go. You know, I mean, that's expressly forbidden in the letter.
So is there action for us to take tonight?
No, I don't.
We're waiting for the revised version from County Council. I think what we will be responding back with was at the president's suggestion was certainly more administrative and operational detail. And I think that might be either an attachment to the agreement or maybe built into the Appendix A. So there's still some work to be done on the documents before we bring them back to the board for approval.
So are we going to be, are we still up against that September date?
We're up against, certainly up against the September 12th date. That's still the date that, that the county is looking to bring before the Board of Supervisors. And we will need to get our approval done in time for county staff to put it in the, into their agenda.
We definitely need to turn it around.
So we'll need to turn it around.
Yeah.
For sure. Now, your regular meetings start September 5, right?
Yes. Would that give us enough time if that was on our September 5 agenda? Meet the counties.
We might want, when we get the future agenda items on, we might want to think about a special meeting, but that it'd be, it may be premature to set it now until we know exactly where we are in the negotiations. The board president can call a special meeting on 24 hours notice, but you know we would need a quorum to be present. So.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so no action on Item four. Are there any more questions about that? It's kind of a complex issue, and we're just rolling through it. But if there's any questions, I'd sure like to clear it up.
I have one more question because I have multiple properties in Wrightwood, and I have multiple dump carts. And somebody mentioned that the I'm sorry. No, Hank. It's Hank Hallmark. The question is, if we're charged, is it 85 and change, for each property that we own?
Each residential property.
I pay it on my rental property, you know, rental single family residences also. So I have about four or five dump cars. My question is, because Leo said that they check tags and they check driver's license and everything.
Yeah.
That dump card is specific to that property, and my tenant should be able to use my dump card.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay,
that's right.
Are you saying then that it's okay for me to let my tenant?
According to this letter from the county,
yeah.
You know, and we don't see that can be done. It says specifically in here. It says permits may not be reassigned to non-permitted private waste haulers, but it says if your property is rented, your tenants can use the permit.
And that's how it is. Okay. That's how it is right now.
That's how it is right now?
Yeah, that's how it is right now.
I have a question.
Yeah. You sure? Okay. All right, item five, discussion and possible action regarding exclusive franchise agreement with CR&R. I had a discussion with Brent this morning, and we're asking CR&R to do a similar thing as the county, and in terms of payment, we won't have any funds until December, January, and Brent is going to specifically ask about that and get back to me on that. We're also discussing other services we can add on, especially when it comes to winter up here, and just other services we might need. Natalie, can you comment on that more? You know more about this than
We were just looking into the potential of Brent kindly already brings dumpsters and trash cans out by goodwill, I guess, up here during the winter time, and we were investigating having that put into our contract so that we could assure that we can have that as a service throughout, you know, winter snow play days to assist in the trash that's left around the community. So that's one important thing that we know the community is a challenge for our community, and that's one big thing we want to see in the contract. So we're going to try and negotiate that.
Natalie, will the county let CRNR put trash cans, say, in the lay-by, what the two, or is that a whole other thing?
I think that has to do with county roads. Is that right, Brent?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'd have to get a permit to do that. Is that correct? Yeah, so that's some investigating we'd have to do, if that's possible.
So, I mean, bottom line, we're still working on this. But I think we should have, on this, I think we should have something relatively quickly as well.
So no action?
No action on this. Item 6, discussion of possible adoption of Resolution 2017-7, establishing an alternative depository of direct of district funds in place of county treasury. You want to comment on this, Steve?
Sure. Do all the board members have a copy of the resolution?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So, I pulled some extra ones from back there.
Yeah, I don't have one.
Resolution 2017-7.
Okay, so we talked about this a little bit at your last board meeting, and this resolution would be necessary in order to establish your own official depository for district funds. Up until now, it's the county treasury. So what this resolution would do would be to confirm your appointment of Mr. Morissette as both your general manager and your district treasurer. And then on the second page, there are a number of provisions that reflect the actions that would be taken. Number one is that you would be withdrawing money from the county treasury into your own official depository. Paragraph 2 talks about the bonds that would need to be posted for the district treasurer, and at the last meeting, the board had given instruction to put in $40,000 there, and that was the 10% adjustment annual. Paragraph 3 says that the system of accounting will comply with all applicable regulations. Paragraph 4 talks about the manner in which checks would be drawn. And pursuant to board authorization, 4A says all district checks shall bear two signatures from any combination of the members of the board and the district treasurer. And again, the signing of the checks will be subject to general accounting principles. Paragraph 5 indicates that the Desert Community Bank has been designated as your depository, and that was done by minute action on July 1, 2017. And then the district treasurer will make quarterly reports to the board, or more frequently as the board desires, regarding the amounts in your account. So that's what this resolution does. If there are any questions, I'd be glad to try and answer.
I had a question about paragraph 4. Do we have to go, the board members who have not had their signatures, do we have to go and like put our signatures in at the bank so that we can sign the check?
Yeah, the signature card has to be changed. And it's no big deal. I can go over there with you, or Al could go over there with you.
Okay, so if we pass this, we can go and do this? Okay.
Yeah.
Steve, I think you spoke a little bit last time about kind of what standard operating procedure is for the signing of checks. Do you feel like two signatures is enough to guard against anything, not on this board at all, but we have no idea who will be elected years, you know, in the future, and two is secure?
Yes, I'm comfortable with
it. Okay.
I will say one thing, that the bank does want the minutes.
Okay.
They do want the minutes. So we will have to get the minutes going and then take it over there. They added Al on there, and they did it as a favor, and they said, we really need the minutes.
Well, hopefully this resolution is more official than minutes.
Yeah, that's true.
And so hopefully that will satisfy. The minutes for the July 1 meeting have already been approved, and that was the meeting in which the board appointed Desert Community Bank, or did take action there. So and this resolution incorporates that action. So one signed by the board president, secretary, then it should be sufficient. But again, I don't run the bank, so. But I think you have some draft minutes that the general manager has prepared, and so that should also bolster the resolution.
Okay. Any more questions? Do I have a motion to accept the resolution 2017-7?
I will make the motion to accept resolution number 2017-7.
I second that motion.
Okay, let the record show that Natalie made the motion and Leo seconded the motion. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 All opposed? The motion carries. Sorry about that.
I thought we would be having public comment before we voted. It's okay, it doesn't affect. This does not affect the vote. This is just a question for clarity. Does this mean that all the monies that the county owes the CSD now and in the future will be in the CSD account and not in any shape or form in the county treasury?
That is correct.
Okay, good. Thank you.
It gets ACH'd over. It's a tax collector just sends it over.
Would it be any advantage to having more than one account?
I mean, I don't think so at the amounts that we would have in there.
You would want to divide it up and then...
It's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea, just, you know, operationally. Hey, we'll keep the tax money here, or the direct assessment money here, and this, you know, it's such small transactions, really, that I don't think it's much of an advantage. But it's something to think about. All right, item 7, discussion and possible action regarding process for filling the board vacancy.
Thank you, Mr. President. The as you know, there's a vacancy on the board by virtue of Director Carroll's resignation last week. So the process the first step in the process is that the registrar needed to be notified within 15 days that there's a vacancy, and your board president...
Can you move the mic just a little bit? Oh, sorry.
The board president has already notified the registrar's office of that, so that part has been taken care of. You also have a 60-day period in which to appoint someone to fill the vacancy. That 60-day period began to run on August 15th. So from that period of time, you have 60 days in which to appoint someone onto the board. The person that would be appointed would fill the seat for 2 years, and then there would be an election, and the person elected at that time would fill the seat for the remainder of the term. So it would be 2 years, another 2 years, and then and then there would be another election.
But of course, that person that is appointed can run.
Of course.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
So. To begin the process of appointment, there would need to be a notice that is posted in three conspicuous places within the district that would need to be posted for 15 days prior to the time that the board makes an appointment. So that needs to be factored into your 60-day period as well. So I just wanted to run through that with the board. The board dictates the manner in which that appointment process will take place. Beyond that, it's up to set the discretion of the board, so there's an opportunity for the board to figure out what your timing is and maybe what kind of notices you might want to post, what you might be looking for in the way of information for any applicants for the position.
Okay.
Is there any specific language that has to be posted in the notice, or can it just be simply we're filling a board position? Or does it have to have any specific, like, legal language?
Not specifically. I think it might be good to let the individual know that even though Director Carroll had a four-year term, that this appointment, because it occurred more than 130 days before the end of the next general district election, that the appointment only goes
two-year
term. For 2 years.
Yeah, we should put that in the notice.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So it needs 15 days notice in the public, and
Then we have to do it within 15
days. Within the 60 days,
so you would need to make the appointment
by October
15th.
The October meeting, then we could make the appointment, because that would be October 3rd if we're going to do first Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So we could.
So the notice.
Do you want to put that in the notice as well, when the appointment will be made?
Yes.
Right.
So then the notice have to go out middle of September.
So yeah, so if you
or it could go out now, right?
It could go out now.
It could go out now, and we just don't decide till the end of the period.
Mm-hmm. You can dictate the period as long as the notices are posted 15 days in advance for a 15 day period before your appointment. So if you're looking at an appointment period of October 3rd, a lot of times you only have one regular meeting where there's only four of you, so that would be fine. A lot of times what you'll see is boards really kind of wanting to make that appointment quick so that they have a full board. But since you only have one regular meeting before the date that you would be looking at, then that wouldn't seem to be a problem. But if you're looking at an October 3rd date, then the notice would need to be posted 15 days in advance of that. You could certainly post it before then.
But it has to remain up for the last 15 days.
No, not necessarily, because there could be, it has to be up to 15 days. And then if the board wants to then review the applications that come in and then decide what the process is going to be, whether to interview. If the appointment's in public, there is no closed session that applies at all. So it's a public appointment. And so everything will be done publicly on it, and it requires agenda, notice, and all that. But the notice just needs to be up for 15 days before you make the appointment.
Okay. All right. Nothing. Any public comment on that? I knew it.
No, it's no comment. It's a question. I'm sorry. Hey, Colmar. If it's my understanding is you're appointing a replacement for Stephanie, but you're not appointing that replacement for the remainder of her term.
Correct.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
Why is that? Why is it the replacement finishing out her term?
Because
why is it being changed?
Well, because the law, one, that's the elections code. And what the elections code says is that if the vacancy occurs more than 130 days before the next general district election, which is in 2 years, then the appointment is only for until that date, because the legislature gives preference to the voters choosing who serves on this board rather than the four people that are on the board.
I can appreciate that. I was just curious as to why. Okay.
Yeah, very good.
So we're having an election in 2 years then?
It'll be, that seat will be included on an election that's already taken place in 2 years.
Right.
So I think that we would need to create, you know, like the guidelines, make an application or...
I don't think it's much of a... I think it's just a notice. And that's... It's, I mean, there's no criteria for it.
You don't want to have a criteria?
No.
How would they indicate interest? Do I need to have something on the flyer that says, you know, what they need to do if they're interested? Do they just wait and show up that night? Do they email or contact us in some other form ahead of time?
Yeah, they can email, Alex sent an email to everybody on the board and said, I'm interested in a board position. I think that's the way to do it. We just say we're looking for a board member. We have to notice it, and then people can...
We'll put it on our CSC Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah.
The notification.
Yeah.
But you will need to post.
I
would post in all the places listed on your sunshine ordinance.
Right.
Your general manager made a point to me, so that's clear, that what we've talked about the process. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't some substantive requirements along with it. The individual that is appointed would have to be a resident within the district, would have to be qualified, registered to vote, a registered voter within the district, all of
right,
that,
right.
Over 18 years of age.
Okay.
So the same requirements that apply to an individual being elected on the board would apply to
okay.
a person being appointed.
Okay.
Now, can we say, if interested, you know, contact Wes or Al at, you know, redwoodcsd.org by a specific date?
That's certainly up to the board. My suggestion would be that a draft of the notice should be brought back to a board meeting, perhaps your next board meeting, a draft of the notice that would be posted and then put on the website, and so that the board can look at the notice, see if it is reflects its intent. The public sees the notice as well, and it can be discussed and then approved as the official notice to be posted before that. So that would be my suggestion.
Okay.
If I could add a little something, the email part of it is okay, is good, but also put in the notice that they can mail to the PO box, because we should have an email opportunity or somebody who just doesn't email that much and they want to mail it in, whatever the door that we have open. I mean, they can even bring it in during work hours, but
okay,
some way of getting it in into us.
Okay. All right. Item 8, discussion of possible appointment of board vice president. So maybe this is hard. Who wants to be vice president?
All of you.
Do you take nomination from the floor?
Yeah.
Hank, you want to be vice president?
Yeah.
I'd like to make a nomination if I could.
What's your suggestion, Hank?
Leo.
Yeah.
He had the most votes, right?
he did have the most votes.
I was going to nominate you, but do you want to serve?
Sure, I'll take care of that.
Okay.
Sure, I'm going to nominate Leo Hordyke as vice president of the Redwood CSD.
I'll second that nomination.
Let the record show that Michelle nominated Leo and Natalie seconded the motion. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries.
Did you abstain, Leo?
I said aye under my breath.
Okay.
No record of success here.
All right, moving on. We have director's comments. Anybody have any comments?
Thanks, Leo. And Wes and Natalie, thanks everybody for the work you've done. It sounds like a lot, you know, of time has been spent again on solid waste. And Wes, I particularly appreciate your observations when you took trash down to the dump and the photos and all of that.
Yeah, I have pictures and everything. Yeah.
So, and Al, thank you for the work you're doing, and Alex, of course, thank you for the minutes you have written and are speaking.
And I'm going to be hurriedly completing since I was on vacation.
Yeah, it is a lot of minutes. But as Steve pointed out, we really appreciate it, Alex. We need these minutes. It's not something we can just ignore. We have to do it. It's important.
Well, there's quite a few of them. There's only the two that were missed and one that's not partially done tonight.
I can't even. I don't even know how many meetings we had.
I'm going to say that you will have them all by Monday, maybe Friday.
That's fantastic.
I'm
okay.
Going to count them out.
Okay.
Alex, I think we were discussing. I don't think you were here last time we were discussing this, but about the minutes and how they could kind of be, you know, bullet pointed and just quick. Okay, I didn't know. Someone discussed that with you, but they didn't have to be super, you know, long. And I tried to take minutes one time, and it was about 8 pages long. So I understand trying to get everything down, but I think we don't have to have it.
Yeah, we went over with Wes about just doing mainly the motion is the most important thing, because that's what you need to move on to other things.
Yeah.
And we can condense them and don't have to have everybody's comments all the
right.
Time.
Okay, great.
I did read an article last week. It was very exciting. Microsoft has come up with an AI system that can transcribe better than a human now. So
I like it.
I wonder how much that is.
I have a couple of comments. Al, what about the bathroom situation? Are we going to have a company come in and start doing that yet? I need to find out where we're at with that piece of it.
Well, I need to talk with you and have that discussion probably in the next day or two.
Okay.
I have talked with several different companies.
Well, let's move over to the let's just go right to the general manager report, and you can report on all this.
I've got one more.
Okay.
Hank, since we're doing a lot of fire upgrades up here, the water department is, and I think there's going to be like 40 extra fire hydrants they're installing in our community. So I would think that as a community, our fire insurance should go down because we've got so many more fire hydrants. So that was one thing that I wanted to bring up about the number of extra fire hydrants that will be coming online here in the next.
You're asking an agent? Comment on
something. No.
Yeah.
The state sets the protection class.
Okay.
And I personally, as an agent, think that my company is being extremely conservative, but I can understand why, because they had a maximum exposure for about 19 mountain communities because the agents were doing their job so good. Right now, I checked with my office this morning when I was down there, and we can't write any fire insurance here unless they've had State Farm before.
Mm-hmm.
That means that even if you're renting a piece of property, or buying a piece of income property, we used to be able to insure that as rental income property, and I could not figure out the logic in it, because pride of ownership has a great deal to do with the quality of the home, and I thought they were just headed backwards. But now we can't write anything unless they've had State Farm before. If it's off the hill, that's fine. They can have a second home up here and do that, or they can get their rental up here. But no, it's not up to the agent or the company. The company has prerogatives on how they do their underwriting, and that's certainly not privy to the agent.
Okay.
But the state sets the protection class, and I guess that we're probably in a 4 or 5, which is as good as we can get, unless we want to pay a lot of extra money to work it down to a 3. years ago, the mayor of Pomona and I had some words with each other because he had said, if you'll pass this bond issue, we'll get our protection class lowered and you'll save money on your insurance. Well, Pomona was already about a 3, and it could go down to a 2 or a 1, and it wouldn't make any savings, so you have to be real careful what you say about the fire.
Interesting. Thank you.
All right. Okay, item 10, general manager report.
Nothing more.
That's not good news.
Well, we don't.
That's the new
plumbing now? That's the new plumbing. Comment on what the board's saying to them. We need to get together for the next couple of days.
Okay.
And because I've talked with several different companies, most of the ones I've talked with either are not interested, it's too far for them. They're not licensed or they're not insured. It's really coming down to one or two.
Okay.
But we'll discuss that in the next day or so. I'll call you or whatever.
Al, can I give you a couple names that I have, or Leo, and you guys can check them out?
Sure.
Okay.
No problem.
Okay.
I'm willing to check out any of them.
Yeah. Okay.
Another comment, or part of my report, is the minutes that we have that I included in the packet. It's just a draft copy of minutes, but people look at it for the format and people like the format and so on and so forth. This was of the last meeting. Just wanted to make sure that we had a copy of the minutes. And then the last thing that I guess, well, actually, the last two things I'll address. One is that the plumbing within this building was fixed today. There was quite a bit of time spent on fixing the faucets. And
you know, I talked to Eli also, and you know, I know you've been talking to Eli a bunch on there. I mean, part of the issue is these fixtures are somewhat unique and old, right?
Just like me.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of character.
Turned right through. And, but anyway, one of the things that he did, just give you an example. There's two urinals in the men's restroom over here. Okay? The one closest to the sinks was turned down really low because the one on the other side was so plugged up that it wasn't functioning very well. And so the answer was, rather than fixing the one on the far side, that they would just turn down the other one, so they both trickled.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so Eli did fix the other one.
Yeah.
And turned them both up to be usable. The handle in the men's restroom, one of them would go just a little bit too far, and the water would keep on running. That's been fixed. There was a faucet in the women's restroom that got fixed. Just been adjustments on some of the other features. And in the kitchen, he made some adjustments on one of the faucets. One of the notations that he made to me today is that when we're mopping the floors, we're getting a lot of sand into that one drain. And I'll need to talk to Shannon about that. See if we can figure out a better way of doing that. The outside restrooms, and this will kind of address what Hank was mentioning earlier, or part of the address. The features over there are very archaic, and he's been having difficulties getting these two valves, they're called Acorn valves, I guess that's the brand name. But he did disassemble them today, put in some, I'm going to say temporary parts because they're the wrong size grommets, but it did stop the leaking, but at least slowed them down. And this way he was able to look at it and get the part numbers and stuff from the inside because he's having a hard time finding parts.
I mean, these leaks are all adding up. I mean, the July bill was $800, I think, the June bill was $800.
Mm-hmm.
And the July bill was 713.
Correct.
And it just doesn't seem to be going down. And I mean, that everything just leaks. So we got to get those leaks fixed. Is there, have we checked with the water company to see, hey, have we got them? Is there some other leak we don't know about? Are we going to have another?
I did check with the water company on last week, and they sent somebody out here to talk with us about that. And basically, there's nothing more.
And the water company was gracious enough to give us a $325 credit.
Correct.
For the month, for the June month.
Correct.
Wow.
Now, also with the outside restrooms, one of the features of those restrooms, I've mentioned it before, is that through the years, the drain pipes, which sit about 3 feet off the ground, instead of close to the ground, they sit really high, when people are stepping over them, a number of people will step on them, and these things have been twisted, and they're not leaking, but they've been twisted, which creates, especially on a couple of the toilets, it creates a ability for blockage. When I closed the restroom down tonight, there was a blockage on one of the toilets on the window.
They just get blocked all the time.
Part of the blockage comes from the mass amount of usage. Some of it comes from how they're using it.
Yeah.
But some of it's because of the infrastructure, and I'm getting that fixed as well.
Okay. Go ahead, Hank.
Hank Allmark. The age and the cost to continually repair these.
Yeah.
When George Keane put in some additional facilities at his building, the county required him to put in an additional urinal as opposed to the using the toilet like everybody, you know, normally does. And he was required to use a waterless urinal. Now the waterless urinals are functioning very well.
Yeah.
I suggest that you replace all of that.
I agree.
With a waterless urinal, and you're going to solve a lot of your water problems.
I agree.
And in any building that you have to replace a toilet, especially the historical building, we should have a waterless urinal in the men's room.
It's a great idea.
Or in the unisex room.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, it's a great idea, Hank.
Hey, Al, it seems like, or I noticed a couple weeks ago for the first time, how loud it is, as I just gave the example when I came out of the restroom and flushed the toilet. I don't recall it being like that until a couple of weeks ago. Is there anything that has been done in the plumbing that would have altered that, or am I just remembering this incorrectly? I know you all have been in here as many times as I have.
No,
it's never that loud, right? But it was when
maybe
I was
we're just all aware of the
half
plumbing
ago, it was that loud. Gotta get my microphone out of
there. Keep your microphone here.
Go ahead, please.
Anyway, it seems like something has shifted. I don't hear it from the men's, but that, I mean, when we've done shows in here and such, we've never had that issue before. And I couldn't even hear you speaking when I walked out because of how loud.
Well, that was a benefit.
Hi, Glenn Goldstein here again. Let's see. I don't know how much irrigation area there is, and I really believe that it is probably way off of what it's supposed to be. Even if you have a controller to satellite or to one of the other features, which I don't know that you do. And I'm not sure how many square feet of area you're irrigating. It's certainly antiquated stuff. I've seen it before, it's pretty old. But once again, and I mentioned this either at the very beginning when you were I think your first meeting or someplace around there, that there are water audits, and water audits save certain places hundreds of thousands of dollars in water usage. And this is from a couple of my backgrounds, I know this. And like if one of the heads is off like 10 degrees, it throws a tremendous amount of weight onto how much water is used simply if it's not head-to-head coverage and it's not subsurface coverage, you end up spending a lot of extra water because this is not getting watered, that's getting overwatered, and you're trying to compensate all the time. So I'm not sure what's going on, but a water audit seems to me to be an effective way to at least mitigate the problems that you have, providing there's some working stuff out there and it's not completely destroyed. Okay, so and then of course there's always upclassing it to where it's really efficient. So anyway, those are some of the possibilities. It's hard to believe that you're blowing out $400 or $500 on a bathroom. It's possible, but towards the winter, before there's snow, when there's less usage,
it's just
irrigation water, then you can see where they come together.
It's just that it's everything. You know, everything's leaking. It's leaking everywhere. You know, there's got to be a reason why the bill's $800.
Yeah.
And we just got to fix it.
Anyway,
what is the average cost? I mean, can you give us a ballpark of how much a water audit runs to have done?
Well, if they were pretty expensive, but now there's contractors that have them. The county has them. They'll go out and do a house for free sometimes. Depends on the county and what they're and how they're fixed up. I think I saw something about the county doing it. But I don't know if they would do it for free on the city, on the CSD. But from where it was when they first started, probably 8 or 9 years ago, I imagine, I think the price have dropped a whole lot because people are going out doing a water audit and then doing the fix up for it, making sure that the controller's right, that the heads are right, and so forth. So it's a potential. I'm not sure where what the numbers would be.
Okay. Thank you.
I'd like to add something to that. It was at one of the Phelan Pinyon Hill CSD meetings. The Mojave Water Agency was there. They have a new equipment, hundreds of thousands of dollars of equipment, that they take to city to city, and they perform water audits. There's no charge. That's the Mojave Water District.
Okay.
So that's something that we should look into.
Yeah.
See if they can come up here and do the same thing for us.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's your name?
Vicki Reinick.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've got a little post off of that postscript. Anyway,
I'm sorry, you got to come to the mic because we got these rules. Yeah.
Okay, that's true, and those are for audits like this kind of thing for structural things. That's probably why they have that audit. There's interior audits, and then there's landscape water audits, which is a separate thing, but both things can be done. So.
Right.
It seems like a good place to start if they're doing it free of charge and see what we find there. And
I wonder if they'll just walk around and go... And we could just show them where the leaks are.
Yeah.
Help
they
them out.
They can sign off on it. That's
right. You're right.
And that concludes my gentleman.
Now, before you conclude it, remember when the Mojave Water District was down at the CSD?
Hey, Mike.
It's just to recall his memory on. You mentioned the
maybe we should
water.
Get we need to get you your own mic.
I'm sorry. You comments, and I think I have some good comments if you listen to them.
I'd like them.
Al, if you recall when the Mojave Water District guy was down there, there was a couple of guys down there from, I think it was,
what's his face over there?
Yeah. And I was down there, and he said he would give you guys grant if you would study the sewers, and I asked would he provide a grant for Wrightwood. He says no, Wrightwood's not in the Mojave Water District.
Correct.
Okay, and so I suggest if it's Mojave Water District that they won't have a damn thing to do with a water audit up here.
Well, the Mojave Water Agency probably won't, but I could ask Golden State to see if they have some sort of a water audit process and see if there's something that they can do.
That'd be great.
Okay.
Thanks,
Hello, Randy Warbach, Brentwood Property Owners Association. During Kershaw, we have a booth out there, and you'd be surprised the number of people came up asking how come the public restrooms were closed. We never got an answer. Was that a contractual issue, or did you just not want to have it?
No, because yeah. it was more of just practicality. The public restrooms in events like that are just out of control for us to take care of right now, especially given their state, their current state. They're just not made for that kind of use. And I think an event like that, more porta potties is more efficient because then they'll complain, hey, these restrooms are all clogged up, and which they would be.
Okay, that makes sense. I just want to say that the CSD did kind of get a black eye. I don't know if maybe next time there should be a notice on, or whoever is doing an event should be, what was obvious was that with those restrooms closed, for whatever good reason, they did not have enough porta potties, and that was causing a lot of grief. And, how come the CSD didn't have that open,
Right.
So, okay.
I was afraid to go look.
I didn't know anything about this, but was anybody notified that the restrooms were going to be closed?
Yeah, we told the car show organizer. Yeah.
Yeah, I also didn't know that. Is that something that we should discuss as a board, or was that just like a?
That's a general message.
General. Okay.
How much notice were they given?
I talked with Leo about a week ahead of time. Maybe more.
Not me, it's Leo from company.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I talked to him this morning in the grocery store, and he didn't realize how much the public restrooms were being used before the event, and he was caught off guard because they did their normal usual. But I know you talked to Leo a week and a half ago, and he understood that they were going to be closed.
Right, and I had a discussion with him, about the porta pots and that type of thing. Also, just I guess for clarity, when there is an event, whether it's Mountaineer Days, the car show, or something else that uses our parking lots or outside facilities, we pretty much need to pay for a staff member to be there at it the whole time. So that's going to be an added expense that either is incurred by the CSD or is going to be put into the agreement.
And due to the rental agreement for the event?
That's a possibility. But that's, again, that needs to come up to the board, and the board needs to make a decision on that because you guys make policies.
So I just want to get clear. So were the restrooms closed because of the current state of the restrooms?
Yes.
Okay. So if they were operating well, and we had staff that were cleaning them and that kind of thing, then they would have been left open?
Yes.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
I thought maybe I'm wrong, but I thought I covered that when I was trying to talk about how the septic pipes are all twisted. Things are not flowing. There isn't a day that goes by that I don't unplug a toilet over there. Right. Sometimes.
That's just a regular non-event.
Last Friday, it was 3. The day before, it was 2. Mm-hmm. Today it's 1. There isn't a day that we don't have, and it seems to be the same ones, but other ones all fit in there.
So we really need to look at replacing the facilities then.
Well, or we have to fix the problems. We got to fix the plumbing. Got to fix that. Got
to
straighten it out.
Is get in there and realign everything. It's kind of like your back. Your back aches until somebody goes in there and starts popping things and making the bones get into the right order. That facility has been
so.
Managed for a long time.
Let me describe that. In the building here, there's 3 doors, men's, women's, and then the center door. Mm-hmm. The center door you open up, and it's a bed of sand. And there's a bed of sand to absorb the water if it leaks. But above the sand, what Al's talking about is 3 feet of pipe, sewer pipes, that comes from both the men's and women's. They come into the center. And that room They have it, they have a fan in there in the winter, in the summertime, and they have it heated in the wintertime to keep the pipes all, so they won't freeze. But when there's problems with the sprinkler valves are on the very back. So you have to go over all these sewer pipes, or like Al says, they step on these sewer pipes to get all the way over to the sprinkler lines, sprinkler valves, on the other side of this hallway
to do maintenance on it.
So it's the architecture or the design was okay, but the plumbing is a disaster in there. And it's, I'm not kidding, Al's, there's sewer pipes that are like that all the way through for every toilet, every sink, all the way through that thing.
So say we get all the piping in there repaired and such. Is it possible to create an entrance on the other side of the building to access the sprinkler valves, or to get that replumbed somewhere else, or is the same problem going to continue to exist?
I think the challenge here is get those, either put a platform on the sewer pipes,
a platform,
or you got to put them down lower so Al and others can walk through there, and so they won't get hurt, because you can get hurt in there really easy.
Can they put a door on the other end also?
No, it's brick.
Brick.
Okay. Yeah.
Again, it all costs money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're talking about is probably $10,000. You know, I mean, I'm pulling a number out of the top of my head, but I kind of know these things a little bit, and I would say it's $5,000 to $10,000 just to get to that particular point. It's only going to be a few hours worth of work that will get charged probably for adjusting it and replacing some parts because they need to be replaced because they've been stepped on and out of alignment for so long. But it's on my list.
So in the interim, when we have events, are you going to recommend more code pens?
Absolutely.
How is that going to work? Because I think it's a great idea to have
repeat
the event.
Question, please.
You need a mic,
Alex. So for upcoming events, are we going to try to have the people putting on the events pay for enough porta potties so that we don't have to fix the toilets and deal with that until the toilets are usable by large amounts of people?
Yes, I like that.
How do we figure out how many porta potties per?
I think that's somewhat up to the event organizer, but I mean it's those,
there are county regulations on that.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say. One of the things that in the discussion that I had with the other deal is that he said that he was going to look at the paperwork that he got from the county, because there are county regulations. If you expect this amount of people to attend your event, you need this many porta-pots and so on and so
forth. Go ahead, John.
Oh, I just wanted to mention, because of the old fire station is part of the CSD jurisdiction, why... the county asked us a year and a half, 2 years ago, to keep it closed on Saturday. So we do that. So we don't have the bathrooms open on Saturday when we're open for our museum. And of course, over the weekend, we had the car show, and we like to keep records of how many people come in, visitors, and we had over 150 people. So
wow.
If they were using the facilities there, I'm sure they would have been overloaded also. So
yeah.
Those are things that we have to take into consideration.
Yeah, the car show, the attendance, Leo was telling me, there was 244 cars here, 50 of those registered the morning of.
Wow.
And last year was 197, and that's because it was delayed one weekend because of the fire.
That's right.
So, but it was like the fourth largest. The largest was 265 cars. He didn't tell me the year, but those are some of the statistics that he was telling me this morning.
Like that was one of the years that Betty did it. Could I ask a question for the legal? With all of this deferred maintenance, can the county be billed for the cost of the deferred maintenance because they did not maintain the property and they turned it over to us as if it were in good working condition?
That's an excellent point, Mr. Hallmark. I have reviewed that LAFCO resolution, and the LAFCO resolution doesn't help us much. It indicates that we take, the CSB takes all the property as is, whereas, yeah. But it's a great point, and I think it's certainly worthy of discussion.
Yeah, I think it's more ammunition for the for the money they owe us anyway.
I agree.
Yeah.
So I would think that we should probably get a couple of estimates to have them in our back pocket. So when that conversation
good
does
idea.
Come up,
that's a good idea.
We have it ready to go.
Yeah,
sure.
That's good. Okay.
Great. And don't forget the museum also.
Right. Right. Okay. Future board meetings and agenda items. So I don't think we should set a meeting, Steve, unless you think so, until we get a little bit further on this contract and we have something to take action on.
I agree.
But we still have our original one of
the first regular meeting.
First regular meeting, but we may have another special board. Yeah. Let's say we get the, I don't know, we can't wait to get the contract, you know, take action on that
right.
or something.
I would guess that we probably will have a special meeting.
Right.
But I think it's premature to set it now.
So would it be wise, though, to have kind of a date in mind for when that might be? I mean, we're 2 weeks away from our regular meeting, right?
Well, it's really hard to say, though. It's really
it
tough.
Could be
because,
September 5th.
Because the county could say, oh, you know, I mean, Steve has to give all the red lines, all the language to them. They have to get it back. Okay, we're ready to go. Just don't, I mean, it's down to the, you know, we don't know exactly what day.
But your schedule here is kind of tight, right?
That's
yeah.
what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Do we want to have this, our organization on that schedule as a backup in case?
Oh, I see.
Also,
yeah.
we're four members instead of five, and we've got to have a quorum. And
that's three, right?
Yeah, it's
right,
three.
Right, so only one of us could miss at most. So
yeah.
in knowing the importance of having to call that special meeting, I'm just wondering if there's anything we can do tonight.
Is
next Tuesday available, Al?
Well, today's the 22nd, so next week, it looks like the only evening that's actually has something going on, and that's got to be wrong. That's got to be a morning group. So I think all the evenings next week are open.
Okay.
What about the museum?
The museum, according to this calendar, is open as well.
Alumni books for AA. I thought they had a weekly meeting there.
Wednesday.
Okay.
Wednesday. Oh, 7 to 8 p.m. Correct.
If the community building is open every evening next week, seems like we have a lot of flexibility.
That's great.
But the old fire station, why we do not have a PA system, so that does make
yeah.
it challenging.
Yeah.
Glenn, did you have a question?
Actually, I kind of have a sort of an answer. Apparently, the number of porta potties is figured from servicesanitation.com, and it's got things like if there's alcohol being served, 15% or to 20% more. You need one handicap to start with. After 24 porta potties, you need another one. So many hand wash stations for so many. And it's got a length of hours, and you take the largest of the days of the event, and it has how many hours it's open and how many people are there approximately, 100, 150, 200, 250. And it says how many you need for that.
That's great stuff, and we could put that in the agreement.
So servicesanitation.com, apparently.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're just going to say that building's available next week on one of those nights, so we don't need to hardwire anything then, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. If there's nothing else...
At this point, are we then discussing potential agenda items for September for our first regular meeting? I know there's a couple things that Lynn Crawford has requested to be on that agenda.
Right.
Talking about the yoga for seniors.
Yeah. We got the Christmas light.
Also, contract.
Yeah.
Contract.
Christmas lights for Michelle.
Well, for those agenda items, those should be fed over to Al so we can.
Okay. Did you get those, Al?
Christmas lights for whom?
Yeah, I'll send you the email for that. It's a committee. They wanted to talk about it.
Okay.
And then Lynn Crawford, I think she's been in contact with you.
Right. You have a person.
And then your contract.
What?
If you wanted one.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The flyer for what we talked about earlier, the flyer for Stephanie's replacement.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
The posting. Yeah.
We'll have to agendize that.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, John.
On that issue, I sent an email to yesterday about that. We've had some comments about having Caltrans here. The district supervisor, District 8, he's requested to attend a meeting when it's convenient for the CSD.
And it's not just a PR person, as I understand it. It's somebody with a little bit more pull.
It might be
important.
Yeah, I think it's very important. And especially with the issue coming up about the Sheep Creek Bridge widening and so forth.
Right.
Also, when we have the MAC, of course, we don't need to go back with every issue, but if periodically or quarterly or what, that we could have representatives from, of course, Caltrans, but the Sheriff's Office, the Fire Department, Flood Control, the county, county roads, if we could have those people to our meetings quarterly or periodically, well, I think that would be nice to hear what's going on in the community with them.
Right.
In those agencies.
Okay.
One quick question. This last week,
this is Randy.
Randy Moorbach again. What happened with the LA County dump carts? Did we make that, or are we getting those funds? What was
we are.
Okay, could you?
That was approved.
Could you give us a statement on that?
Well, we did before.
That was last.
He was here the night that we voted on whether we were going to. Charge
but was
gone
last week.
Okay, well,
but it's in the minutes of.
We managed to do it. We managed to pull it off, and the tax collector has agreed so far. I mean, they've agreed to assess 111 parcels over there.
Okay, thanks,
Luke Callahan. I know you guys are busy, but I haven't seen anything on the. Layman's terms for the property that's owned by the CSD. Did we do anything yet with that, or did it just get out of? I thought we were supposed to get kind of a thing of.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And no, I haven't done it.
Okay.
So
I know you're busy, but.
It slipped my mind. It's. I think we're going to make a map. And just show it on a map. Yeah, we'll get that.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get that.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And Randy, to your point about the dump carts, that'll be all part of the dump carts that we'll be putting together on. That'll be effective on October 1st.
Okay, great.
LA County and San Bernardino County.
Okay.
I think I mentioned this last time around. I think I met Don Glenn Goldstein. I think I mentioned this last time around. And I want to know for CERT, if we decide to do this, if we can use the park for rattlesnake training for dogs from the wild animal. What is it called? I forgot their name, but it's the wild animal park. They have
Forever Wild.
Yeah, Forever Wild. And they have a couple people there that have a sub group or a name. I don't know if they're completely attached or not. But they do the training, snake adversity training. And I'd like to know if we could do that, if I can get that through CERT, because it's really important to have dogs trained for that if they stay away.
Is that something to put on the September agenda?
That would be something just to come to me.
Okay.
Just give me a call and we'll figure it out.
I would be delighted to. Okay. Thank you.
I did have a customer come up to me about renting the gazebo, and I'm sure she probably got a hold of you about that.
She got a hold of Shannon.
Okay. I
got a hold of Shannon. She wanted to rent it last Sunday, and she asked about it. Late Friday, and I did not waive the requirement of insurance. So I don't know. continued discussion through Shannon. But Shannon asked me to waive the insurance requirement, and I would not do that. The reason why I would not do that is because liability.
Can you? Do you have the ability to waive? Does Steve, does he have the ability to waive that? It seems like that's a board decision, right?
It's up to the board.
Yeah, but I wouldn't think.
I mean, every event, we should have a liability.
Yeah.
We'll be right.
I mean, you don't take a phone call and they say yes on to your insurance.
Right. It's not that big a deal.
And it's not that expensive.
You can go see Hank. You can do it.
Pulls it out of his back pocket.
While you have me on board here, there is event insurance that they can put to their homeowner.
Yeah.
Right.
They have to, if they keep you Friday, that means they didn't even have time to call their agent. Their agent would need some time to run through underwriting to make sure they can get it back.
Exactly. Yeah. Hank Hallmark.
Okay, if there's nothing else, meeting's adjourned.